You ever go to a restaurant? And I talked last week about tasting, not last week, a couple weeks ago. Stephen spoke last week, and I heard it was fantastic and awesome. Mackenzie and I, I'll just tell you straight up, we went to a Giants game. I played hooky. Yeah, I wanted to take my daughter to a little treat over the summer, and the last tickets we had were on a Sunday morning or Sunday, so that's what we did. That's where we were at. We had a great time. Mackenzie and I, my daughter, is fantastic. I love being with my kids. It's good to have Devin. Devin is here with us for the weekend. We're going to get a nice little treat. Cameron and Valerie are flying in tonight, and we get them for a day, just like one full day, and they got to go back, well, actually a day and a half or something like that. They got to go back to work, and they're looking at buying a house in the Phoenix area, so they got one last little getaway before, before they got to spend money on everything that goes with their house. I asked the question, what is our purpose here? What is our purpose here? What is our purpose here at the salt mine? And so when I asked that question, I really was asking the Lord. It's like, Lord, what is our purpose here? What are we doing here? You guys, and the Lord doesn't let me just ask those questions to him without really going deep within me, and he starts, he answered my question with a question, and I'm serious, this is how the Lord does things with me a lot of times, and he answered my question with a question, was this one, and he said, what is the greatest desire that you have for the people that you love? And I said, oh, okay. I started thinking about that, and I really started thinking about it, and I started contemplating it, and I really started reliving and reenacting, if you will, going over my week or the things that I desire the most for the people that I love. And here's the answer that I came up with, and it's an answer that I feel that I believe that the Lord is wanting us to understand. And is I want the people that I love to be blessed. My greatest desire for the people that I love is that they would be blessed by God. And so that's something that I feel like, and I sense, our purpose here is to taste and see that the Lord is good, and be blessed in His goodness. And I know that's really, really good, and I like that, but I think that goes so, it's far reaching, and I think if we really break it down, where I come from as a pastor is that very desire and drive within me to just want to pour blessings into people's lives, to want to bless people, for them to want to experience and know the blessing of God and His goodness for their lives, not just personally, but even as a body of believers, for us to know the goodness of God's blessings. Hello? I think that's a good thing, and I really do. And then he answered it with this. So he answered my question with his question, his response back to me was very clear, and it could have been through this song. I think it was, and he said, I really am a good, good father. I really am a good, good father. And that just hit me so hard. And everything that, then I started, have you ever started, has God ever like spoken to you a clear message, and it could be a very specific word or a theme word, but then it seems like everything I read in the Bible, everything I opened up in the Word of God spoke to that, enhanced that, embellished it, clarified it, and even made it even it to where it became a conviction of like everything I read spoke to that very truth of how good of a father he actually is. And how little that we actually know it. So my desire this morning is for us to understand and receive and taste the goodness of God. So I'm going to go through some things, and I'm going to bring a lot of scripture to light, and I feel like it's going to be a great morning in the Lord to just taste and see that the Lord is good, for us to see what our purpose is here in this life. And how about even here specifically at the salt mine? That's a good one. Okay, I'll start there. Psalm 67 is where I'm going to start with really quick. I'm going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 67, and I'm going to start verse 1. It says, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously, even govern and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And when you go to a restaurant to get a meal, to get a feast, to get to taste the goodness of food, and sometimes we go there just to, I don't know why, just to fill up your belly. But I like to go to restaurants that taste good, and sometimes it's just to get full. But when the server comes to the table, they come to the table first. You have to be seated at a table, and then they come to your table. And if you're in a conversation and if you're around friends and stuff, here's the if we're not careful, we'll not pay attention to maybe what's happening. And when we start our service here, this is something I want to encourage us. When things are happening in the midst of the salt mine and fellowship is happening, and we start, and the band starts. I'm going to call you the band. Is that okay? The band starts. The worship team begins to worship and bring his presence of worship into this place and into our hearts. And it's, if we don't engage in that and say, I want to praise the Lord, this is a place that I could say, God, I want to praise you. God, I want to lift you up, and I want to sing to you. I know it's a challenge here at the salt mine. We're challenged to focus here. Have you guys noticed that? And it, you know, I noticed as soon as we sang the name of Jesus, a train had to blow his horn at the name of Jesus. And that bothered me, but at the same time, I said, yes, thank you, Jesus, that the enemy doesn't want us to say the name of Jesus and hear the name of Jesus. So much so that, I'm not saying the enemy brought a train, because that's theologically incorrect, and it's like taking things a little too far. But I do know that there's a very real reality in that as we engage in worship, it's almost as though when the server comes to your table and you just keep on chatting it up and you don't pay attention, guess what's going to happen when everybody else is getting their food? You ain't getting none because you didn't pay attention when the server was taking orders. Instead, you kept chatting and you didn't get nothing. You didn't get to order. That was, I don't know if that was from the Lord or from me, but I felt that as we were like really engaging in worship, and there's people that just were like just, I thought, they're just forgetting to order. There's a server, he's coming right by, and they're just paying attention to whatever, you know, their phones or whatever. And anyway, I want us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and I believe with everything in me, and it's not just because I believe it, but I see it in Scripture that his goodness, His goodness as a good, good Father is there for us and there for each and every one of us if we just would grab a hold of His goodness. And I know stuff in life weighs us down, tears us up, and shreds us to pieces and consumes us with stresses and pressures and tensions and distractions. And it's almost as though, and maybe almost isn't even the right word, it is exactly as though we have to grab a hold of that server and say, give me a juicy ribeye steak today. That's what I want. It's almost that's the engagement we have to say and say, you know, push aside all the stuff and say, thank you, Jesus. Even if it sounds awkward and it's weird and I'm not used to it and somebody might hear my funny sounding voice. Stephen and I we're the only, I think, speakers here at the Salt Mine that we don't like the sound of our voice. I know we've talked about it. And we're like, what's that? You don't either? Glenn's voice is so, I love his sound of his voice. It's like, sounds authoritative and it's good. It's a good voice. I like, when I hear my voice, I'm like, gosh, that sounds goofy, but. Psalm 67. Let me say this. In light of what we're talking about this morning is the greatest desire is for us to be blessed. To know God is to be blessed. To trust God is to be blessed. To fear God is to be blessed. To walk with God is to be blessed. To have an intimate relationship with God is to be blessed. There's blessings in that. Blessings are manifestations of increased favor. Did you hear that? Blessings are manifestations of increased favor from God. Yet favor has a purpose. And without discovering what that purpose is, we are prone to self-promotion and personal kingdom building. In other words, what I'm saying is that if I think about being blessed as me getting everything I want, I'm missing the boat entirely. I'm actually on a different ship going the wrong direction because it's not about that. It's not about me getting everything I want. That's why even when we talk about being blessed, here's something that we've learned in church history is wherever there's a wrong theology, a wrong doctrine, if you will, or a wrong teaching, and so much has been wrong, been abused in being blessed, so much that we've taken talking about the blessed life, oh, that's name it and claim it, oh, that's that life that we're talking about, no, it's all about suffering and sacrifice, that's what the Christian life is all about, and if you want to be blessed, then boy, you're missing it. You're on the wrong page of the Bible. It's like, well, here's what we've done is when we take something that's wrong and it's been abused and it's been misused and misconstrued and we try to counterbalance it, all we're doing is we're going the opposite direction and being just as wrong. I believe that there's a healthy balance in being blessed. Understanding what being blessed is isn't about me getting a whole lot. It's about knowing God and being blessed by God. It's the one thing that I say all the time to strangers and friends and family. Blessings on you. May the Lord bless you. I say it so much that I so, so genuinely really mean it with everything in me. And I believe that's the Spirit of God inside me that just wants to pour blessings into people's lives. I want to see them blessed. I want to see you blessed. I would love for you to know you're blessed and be blessed. And if we don't understand what that blessing is, I think that we'll be about ourselves and it'll be a selfish thing. But when we are intent on making Him known and His kingdom grown, that was a cute little rhyme that I felt like I was like, oh, that was neat that the Lord give, yeah. I impressed myself with that one, as you could tell. Sorry, guys. Would you like me to repeat that? Yeah, I heard something really cool just a few minutes ago, and it goes like this. But when we are intent or intentional on making him known and his kingdom grown as the purpose of our life, then we could actually apply, I believe, 2 Chronicles 16:9. And it says this, that the eyes of the Lord are searching. The eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And as I was reading this morning, that very word of the Lord said to me, and he said, there's some people that see that as a threat, and there's others that see that as a promise. I want my people to see that as a promise and not a threat. Do not be threatened that the eyes of the Lord are searching for what's in your heart. Receive that as a promise. Because the promise is this, is that as he searches and he sees that your heart is intent to grow his kingdom and make him known, guess what he's looking to do? Come on, this is exciting, my friends. I'm going to get excited with me and myself, and I'm going to get excited about it. He's looking to pour himself into you. And any and all of God poured into any and any one of us is a good thing. It's a good thing. Don't look at it as a threat. Look at it as a promise. If I just surrender and I set my heart and mind on him, he's going to pour himself into me. And I think that the Lord is saying this in his spirit right now. I'm hearing this. The Holy Spirit is saying this, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful of what you think he might take away from you. Instead, look at what he can pour into you. Do you hear that? Because what you think he might take away is just a fraction. And it's less than a fraction. It's actually it's a minus, if you will. It is a deduction of all of that which God has for each and every one of us. Let us not settle for the less life. I know I'm if I had a big smile, I'd sound like Joel Osteen, but I'm not. This is a real good thing. This is a really good thing that his eyes are looking for those who he could pour into us. Do we realize even, listen to this, and this is, I had to write this down because it was just a good thing that the Lord gave me. He's looking for opportunities to manifest himself in you. You guys hear that? God is looking for opportunities to manifest himself in and through you. Yeah, and do you realize this? I want us to realize this. Are you awake for a second more? Yeah. A few more minutes. That's the whole reason that we tithe. Did you realize that? According to Malachi, he tells us, he says, you've robbed me. You've robbed me from, and this is exactly what he's saying in that. It's not that you've taken my money. You've robbed me from the opportunity to bless you by hoarding what you think is yours. Hello? Do I need to repeat that? Because I think as soon as I said tithe, I think some people tuned me out, like, oh, he's talking about that. What he's talking about is very, very real and applicable to our very lives and every part of our lives, even the part of our lives that deals with money. It says, don't rob me from the opportunity to bless you by hoarding what you think is rightfully yours. Hello? You guys ever see it that way? Okay, now you just did. It's a good one. In fact, this is kind of neat. He even tells us that in that light, if you trust me, I'll pour into you more than you can handle. You'll have to build bigger barns. because you don't have enough space to hold what I want to pour into you. Hello? I mean, isn't that a New Testament principle that Jesus talked about? It's simple for me to understand it. It's as though he's saying it's the new wine in a new wineskin. I got a couple of passages of scripture that I think are really amazing as far as highlighting what it is that we're called to do in our purpose here at the Salt Mine and our purpose here as a church, as a body of believers, is to pour into people's lives, to bless people. And I did want to start with, yesterday, and I had a simple little conversation with my brother Steve, and it was kind of exciting because it was exactly where I wanted to be as far as in my mindset, and I think where God wanted us to be as a body of believers. Let me just share this because I think it comes down to a perspective of how we see ourselves, who we are, and it kind of defines what we do, and what we do actually is the evidence or the fruit of who we are. I know that's like you just said the same thing, but it's true, right? Truth is what actually is. I always say it very simply. It's like if I say the sky is blue and I walk outside and the sky is blue, well, then that's the truth. The real reality is what we are compels us to be what we do, to do what we do. And what we do actually comes from who we are. With that being said, it comes down to perspective so many times of how we see who we are and how we see what we're called to do in this world, in this life, at this church, in this community, in our families, where we're at. And I'll start with this. Steve and I came through and I was saying hi to a lot of our folks and people, the volunteers, which was the Knights of Columbus, which is fun to see them doing stuff. And as we're going through this, and I'm just really just blessed to be a part of people's lives. And, you know, as I was seeing some of the families that were getting help and getting food, the only thing I could say to them was, and it was from really something in my heart, I said, thank you for coming in and giving us the opportunity to bless you. Thank you for coming in today. Thank you for getting what you need. And it was a neat thing because people were like, what? What do you mean thank you? No, thank you. And I was like, no, thank you. And I think that comes from the perspective. And what I was talking with Steve about is, you know, he was manning some of the fruits and vegetables over there. And he's like, yeah, some of this stuff is like, I don't like giving it out because it's just not, the quality doesn't meet the standard in which I would like to actually feed my own family with. So I want to just set it to the side and not give it out. And I said, man, Steve, I said, thank you for having that perspective because you could easily have this, I think, arrogant perspective, say, well, they get what they get and they shouldn't throw a fit. You know, I know that's what we tell our kids and that's what we tell our kids. And that's something that we should tell our kids when they're, anyway. But when we're looking to minister and to bless people and pour into people's lives, doesn't the mentality and the mindset, it ought to set in that people are people. And who are we to say that person is a lower class of a person just because they're in need at this moment in their lives? And when we look at people, why do we have a tendency to look at people with a judgmental, earthly perspective? It's because it's there. It's our flesh. Come on, it's there. Don't deny it and pretend it doesn't exist. Just crucify it. Kill it. Get rid of it. Bury it. Send it to the cross. Whatever you got to do with it, do something with it, except live it. Don't be it. Don't speak it. If you speak it, repent of it. And let me as your pastor call you on it. Thankfully, Steve said the right thing, so I didn't have to. Yeah. I want to, there's a passage of scripture It's James chapter 1. I'm going to start there, and it's kind of a long passage, and I think it's pretty neat. Listen to this as I get to it. Like I said, as I read this, this was kind of enhancing the thought pattern of what the Lord was speaking. James chapter 1, verse 17, the New King James Version says this: every good and perfect gift is from above. Hallelujah. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow or turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, the we is all of it. He's including us in this, that we may be a first fruits, those that believe, so then, listen, verse 19, listen to this. This is a fantastic passage of scripture. I get excited about the word of God, and I think you should too. It's life. Life. Verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Amen for that one, right? Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit just drive that one in, because that's a good one. I'll share with you guys real quick, and this is kind of a little side note. I was strongly convicted of my impatience at a fast food restaurant. I went to a fast food place to get food, not because it was going to taste good, but because I needed food. And I was impatient and frustrated with how slow and inconvenient it was. And the Lord said, "Well, aren't you the? I mean, this is kind of how He said it. Says, aren't you the good Christian preacher, man?" Getting frustrated with all these people because they're just trying to do their job. They get paid minimum wage. It's like, why don't you do something that you preach about and talk about it? Why don't you stop and just pray for them and find a way to bless them as opposed to complain about how they're not making your life convenient? Yeah, that's what I said. I said, ouch, gosh, I'm not going back there again for a while. Like, gosh, Lord, can you just let me be a fleshly idiot sometimes? No. And so from there on, I've looked for so you guys, come on, just join with me in this. And from there on, I looked for opportunities to bless and to pray for. So actually, what I'm saying is that I look for opportunities to be frustrated. Did you guys hear that? It's working really well. It's working really good. I notice it all the time. I notice it a lot more, how frustrated and impatient I am. And Lord, I'm working on it. Well, it's the truth that I get frustrated and impatient with people that. And the Lord is saying, you, my son, bless them, pray for them. You don't know what's going on. This isn't all about you, Eric. It's not all about you and life being convenient for you. Look for opportunities to bless people in the midst of frustrated moments. And I know that's simple. Fast food restaurant is a simple, puny, petty frustration. There's real life frustrations and discouragements that actually are big deals. Let's go on. But then he takes this to a whole nother level. I really want to get through this passage of scripture because it's so fantastic. Verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all the filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. But be doers of the word, and not just hearers, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is just simply a doer, and I added that, a doer, or if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in the mirror. And for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Not with the Holy Spirit involved. He never lets you forget. He's always in my business, and that's a good thing. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. This one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26, and if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, what? Did you just read that? Did you hear what that said? I need to scratch that one, highlight it with a Sharpie. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You know that there is a substance. It's really awesome. There's this material that Alfred Nobel came up with, and it's where we get the Nobel Peace Prize from. He invented this, huh? Dynamite. But do you know where dynamite gets its power? Dynamite gets its power through a substance called nitroglycerin. Nitroglycerin is this substance. It's an oily-based substance that, in its form, is extremely dangerous, so much so that it's explosive. And the reason he developed it as a safe explosive is because as he was working on inventing it, he lost his very own brother because a factory exploded, blew up while they were trying to formulate this to be a safe substance. So he worked tirelessly at bringing nitroglycerin into a nice tight little package that we now have dynamite. But did you know that that very substance of dynamite is used to destroy? That same substance is also the very thing that Alfred Nobel needed to take for his heart was going bad. And even at the end of his life, he said, how ironic that the very thing that I used to bring about in destruction. And he said, it's not safe to use, but it was a right thing to do. He said, it's the very thing that's going to keep my heart beating. Did you know that? It's the same as our tongue. Our tongue has a power to destroy, and it has a power to heal. How are you going to use it? And what James is saying here is how you use your tongue is how you identify yourself as a believer. Don't deceive yourself. If you use it to destroy people, to tear people down, to talk bad about people, to curse people as opposed to bless people, then your tongue is dynamite. Or it can also be a healing power that can keep people's hearts beating. Nitroglycerin. It's an interesting thing. Look into it. It's fun to look into. I'm going to move on because this is what I wanted to get to. Verse 27 says, because this is what we're about here at the salt mine. I believe it. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself spotted, unspotted from the world. Did you hear that? It's to take care of those who need help. To help those who need help. To be salt, to be a blessing, to bless those in this community that need help, and to keep oneself unspotted, to where basically don't get sucked up into something that you're not supposed to be sucked up into. Stay pure, stay righteous, stay holy, and help people. I'm going to read this because it goes on to say something actually the next 13 verses of chapter 2. You guys with me for a minute? Stay with me. Stay with me. Just a few minutes longer. It says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. And this, listen to this. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. You have dishonored the poor man, and do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble at one point, he is guilty of the whole thing. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. You guys remember a few weeks ago I talked about, I believe that he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Have you noticed that when we are looking to be merciful and to be loving and to love your neighbor as yourself, to really obey what God says to do, we have to surrender to our own, even sometimes our own principles of, well, he needs to be shown, he needs to be told that he was wrong. Be convicted of that, because that very thought and that attitude is a merciless, judgmental attitude. When you have to show people how wrong they are, what is Satan's attribute that he is called in regarding to us as brothers and sisters? The accuser of the brethren. Why do we think it's okay for us to accuse our brothers and sisters and call it God? I don't think it is. I think we're aligning ourselves with Satan himself when we accuse our brothers and sisters. Here's the thing is, we have to really allow the Lord to do this in us, is when somebody accuses us, what do? Oh, that's of the devil. I ain't not receiving that. You can't heap shame and guilt on me. Shame and guilt is from the devil. Get out of here with that shame and guilt stuff. But we're so quick to want to heap shame and guilt on somebody for being wrong, especially when they wrong us. Hello? Did that get a little gritty? Sorry. I'm heavily and highly and extremely convicted in my spirit. When I align myself with Satan. And I should be. My prayer is that we become convicted when we align ourselves with the devil. And at the same time, I am compelled to strive to be blessed by God. And coming into the place of being blessed by God And I believe blessing is again, it's that it's a increased favor of God into our lives. I want to read a quote, and I think this is, I'm going to finish with this. It's from Bill Johnson, and if you, it's from his book called God is Good. And he says this, and I think it's appropriately correct in what God is doing in our times and in our world today and right now. He says this: we are coming into an increased times of favor and blessings, with greater and greater areas of responsibility in the church. We're not saying that we're coming into a life of ease or self-exalting bounty. It's just that He, God, is making it more and more obvious who carries His heart by releasing an increased favor upon their influence in their community. That is His mark of blessing. Our positions of increase are unto something. They're not just a sign. We're not going to the sign. We're going pointing to God Himself. So the problems that our cities have, our nations have, and individuals are having, they have no answers outside of God. There are no other answers outside of God. So we, the people of unfailing love, unfailing love, I love that. Do you realize that there's a verse, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, and it says this: love never fails. Has that ever like struck you and as like, well, it's failed for me? How many of you ever, when you read that, when you hear that, what do you think? Okay, love never fails. Okay. Okay. And that's the dilemma, is that we process that with what we think our love, that love is, looks like. But here's the bottom line: love really does not ever fail, because love actually is God. God is love. God never fails. Love never fails. So even the very working of troubles and trials and situations and frustrations and that things that are going in our life is, it very, very well could be God working His love in us and through us. Do you realize that all of God's judgments are this very one thing? All of God's judgments are the thing that he's actually working against. He's removing the very thing that love is getting in, that is getting in the way of love. I said that right, eventually. God's judgments are Him removing the things that are getting in the way of love. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's bottom line. I'm seeing that so clear. Is God's judgments aren't to be mean to us and harsh on us and smite us. It's the things that are getting in the way of us knowing His love, He's got to put His hand on and say, get out. And it comes across as a judgment. Hello? It is a judgment. Whew, I got excited there for a second. Let me finish this quote and then we're going to pray. You guys okay? Oh, golly, I am icky up here. So we, the people of unfailing love and hope, have the opportunity to serve and serve well, bringing the King and His kingdom into everyday lives of people all around us. He is putting something upon us that will help them see Him, His Spirit. If I use that which God is placing into my charge for personal gain, I will find myself seriously disappointed. But if I can live with His favor and blessing and use it for the intended purpose, which is to make Him known and His kingdom grown, people will turn to Christ. That is His promise. That is His word. And so, because God is good, let us taste and see. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Woo! and worship the Lord. Let's get a, oh, let's eat the dessert. Worship the Lord together. And if God wants to do some healing in your life, come on up in prayer. So Father God, we thank you for your mercy that triumphs over your condemnation. We thank you that your love never fails and that you are looking to bless us. Bless us with your favor. We thank you, Jesus, that it's in you, Jesus. In you, Jesus, where there is no shifting, there is no changing, but you are the light of the world. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of glory. And that your love for us has no end, has no measure. And we receive that. We receive your love. In Jesus' name, bless us, bless us, bless us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your glory, amen. Amen.